listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, maybe we'll be dancing a little bit later, but obviously I like to sing to my own song, and hopefully one day I can do for everybody. And okay, we are in studio in LA, and it's so cold here. I don't know why. I'm freezing, and outside is so hot. But in the studio, I have my wonderful guest. First, I have Stephanie Mack. Like always, hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Alona.
You are my sunshine of my life. You know it?
Yes.
It would be very hard for me to not have you today and for a long, long time. Hopefully in the future right now with me, I appreciate always your sweet smile. And I have a very cool, unusual guest, okay? The singing chef, Andy LaRusso. Hi, Andy.
Ciao. How are you? So nice to be here. I'll warm things up for you.
I have. I'm sure you will do. And I think it's a little warmer in Dallas. Hi, Dr. DJ Verrett.
Hi, Alona. How is everybody in the studio?
I again say, you know, I am so happy to have you with us. We are fine, but I cannot wait that one day the chair number 4 will be here and you will be with us and giving us advices, you know, from LA Talk Radio. But right now,
we'll make it over that way one day. You know, I saw the lineup for today, and I must say I have been patiently anticipating the Alona Europa song Anticipation today.
Aww.
And definitely want to talk with the singing chef, Andy LaRusso, who, according to his bio there, which is very impressive on his website, singingchef.com, he has been for over 20 years combining a passion for music and food by putting together his singing and singing to everyone to explain to them how to cook. So two passions that I have. So I am truly anticipating today's show.
Oh, that's so cool. I love your intro. That's so really nice. But, of course, Accent On will not be Accent On if we will not have John Johnson speaking to us. And let's see what he will have to say to us.
This is John Johnson for Firefly, Igniting the Soul. And today, I want to talk about the power of abundance and the concept of gratitude. Several years ago, I'd been living in what I refer to as a state of not enoughness. Not enough time, not enough money, not enough motivation, not enough talent, not enough, not enough, and not enough. You know, I never thought of myself as a person who was putting off living my life for another day, a day when I had enough money or enough time. But one day it sort of hit me like a brick wall that I was doing exactly that. I was putting off living my life. And the funny thing is about the feeling like you never have enough is that you never, in fact, have enough. Because enough is a mentality, and you either have it or you don't. And if you believe that you don't have enough, then you simply don't. And then life will continue to show you in all the ways in which this not enoughness permeates all areas in your life. And you can become very, very small by it. You can become suffocated by it. It can make you feel very inadequate. I made a conscious choice to change my mentality. I decided that no matter how much money was in my bank account, how many friends I had, how much love I was experiencing, or how much I enjoyed my job, I would choose to view my life as one of abundance and gratitude. To believe that no matter what I had, that it was more than enough. And once I made that choice and I began to practice it every day, the world around me became a whole new place, a place where abundance and blessings were everywhere. Essentially, shifting your mentality to one of abundance involves practicing gratitude for what you already have. Just ask Oprah Winfrey. She said to me many times that writing down what she's grateful for each day changed her life exponentially. So how does it work? What you focus on, you see more of, because you're more easily able to identify it, look for it, and attract it. We've all experienced paradigm shifts, right? An example is when you buy a car that you never particularly noticed on the road before, but once you bought that car, right, you start seeing it everywhere. Well, those cars have been there all along, but now you're aware of them because you changed your focus. Abundance is having a feeling of richness and fulfillment in your life. Don't make the mistake of thinking that abundance equals quantity. Let me share an analogy. Imagine your closet is overflowing with clothes. And now I know for some of you that really won't be too hard to imagine because it probably is overflowing with clothes. But you find yourself standing in front of your closet thinking you have nothing to wear. You see the quantity is there. The closet is packed full of clothes, but you can't see the value or the richness in what you have. How about trying this? Remove the clothes from your closet that you love. If you look at those items, regardless of the quantity, you'll start from a place of seeing value and be more likely to take additional steps to increase that feeling. Having several material objects, but feeling like you have clutter, robs you from feeling as abundant as you might otherwise feel. You see, focusing on the things you have that are inspiring, beautiful, useful, and that you love puts you in a very different place emotionally. It can give you a greater sense of control, serving to empower you in all other aspects of your life. A lack of an abundance mentality can become a real hazard in our lives. And so the way I see it, you can choose to live your life in plentiful abundance or in a world of not enoughness. But the choice is completely yours. And I, for one, know what I'm choosing. For more daily thoughts or to share your abundance experiences, please visit the John Johnson official fan page on Facebook. For Firefly on Accent On, this has been John Johnson wishing you great abundance. And now, back to the studio with your hosts, the abundantly talented Alana and Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you, John, again. I know you are in Maui today, and I think for a few more days. I know you are with your friends, with Harpo Production people. I know you probably say hi to Oprah right now. I know that you also have wonderful friends from Ontario. You have Mayor of Ontario, his beautiful wife with you. Then I know you are pretty in a happy place right now. And I think your lesson was just one of the most beautiful and visual to me. I see my closet always and I never have enough to choose from. I need to rethink again life this way, that you just really need to know what is important in your life and not clutter your head and heart too much. But again, thank you so much for this one. And I will want to come back to our guest in the studio and to the DJ and come back to somebody who sings and cooks and is in the studio live with us. And we want to hear Oh Sol Mio.
La, la. Una giornata sole, un'aria serena, dopo una tempesta, per l'aria fresca, pare già una festa, che bella cosa una giornata è sole. Stand front of your day. o sola senza scene, me venne quasi una malignia sotto a finestra tua restoria. Quando fanno Dio sola senza scene,
like always, we always are waiting for this high note, the blood count coming out of your throat is so, so beautiful. Oh. You are gorgeous tenor. What do you think, DJ?
I can't imagine that you could combine that kind of a voice with food and not come out with something just amazing.
Oh, it's just really, really cool idea.
It always makes me want to share that story when Grandmother Grace... DJ used to cook in the kitchen for us. She would always have Enrico Caruso, Maria Lanza, Luisa Tetrazzini, Nicola Butti, some of the wonderful greats from the 30s playing while she would cook. And that sort of inspired me to go out, find a teacher, which I manifest, she was 88, and learn these beautiful songs that she used to play while she was cooking a wonderful pasta sauce.
Oh boy, you know, you are just, like I mentioned before, so colorful. I don't even know where to start and how to start to describe you, okay? Because we had, of course, I read a little bit about you. I talked to you a little bit. And you are a man of so many faces and hobbies and professions. Yeah, you are entertainer. You say that you are a chef, but you really feel like you are entertainer.
Well, food is entertaining. Isn't that right, DJ?
Absolutely. Growing up, I grew up in South Louisiana, and we had a similar experience in cooking gumbos and fricassees and etouffees and jambalayas and all the ethnic food for South Louisiana. Oh. So I had a similar experience, and definitely agree with you on that one.
But a lot of the family influence I got too, right?
Absolutely. You know, we got together with both sides of the family, and you'd have a crawfish boil at one person's house and then go and cook an etouffee at another person's house. So it was a community experience. I'm sure very similar to the Italian experience as well, correct?
Yes. Now, let me ask you this, because I know Ilana and Youssef, you sent me a few questions. Was there any type of noodle, of course, we're talking about pasta here,
yes.
that was involved in that particular cooking from Louisiana?
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you in the background there.
Any type of pasta noodle that was in,
you know,
cuisine from that Louisiana? I'm just curious if there was any, with the egg and the flour and the, you know, the salt and this and that. I'm just curious.
Well, we didn't do many pastas. We did some. You would have fettuccine, like a crawfish fettuccine or shrimp fettuccine.
Okay.
But more commonly, we used rice in South Louisiana. So most of our dishes are rice dishes with some
sauce.
Kind of sauce on top of it.
Yeah. Okay, but we have in studio Italian chef that before we will start talking about everything, what this food brings to to our imagination, and we are hungry already. I want to know if pasta is fattening. What do we think? What do you think, Mr. Chef?
Well, you know... in terms of the proportions, and DJ, I'm sure you agree with me, although I have a voracious appetite. I exercise 150 miles a week on my bike, so I do burn up at least 2,000 calories every 32 miles that I do. However, when I sit down and I have a bowl of pasta, I usually eat more than my share. And that's what most of the people that I talk to said, well, Andy, how much should we eat? I would say 2 ounces usually equal 1 cup. But what do you put on top of the pasta?
That's
isn't that right, DJ?
Okay,
the
no.
chef is absolutely correct on that one. It really isn't the pasta itself that's fattening. It's the portion and absolutely what you put on top that you have to be careful about. So, you know, pasta itself is actually a good source of carbohydrate. A lot of professional athletes will use it as their carbohydrate intake to provide the energy they need while training. But you have to be careful and not overindulge, and if you're like me and not riding that many miles, except in a car, that you don't put away that many calories whenever you're eating your pasta. So pasta itself truly isn't fattening. It's like anything; you have to eat it in moderation.
Yes, what you put on it. And I always say the freshest ingredients the better. Whether you do shrimp, a grilled shrimp, which has very few calories. However, you can garlic it up, you can season it up, and I use fresh pomodoro. Fresh tomatoes, and of course garlic, the Italian Viagra. And we use that, and olive oil, which is
that's the next question. You know, yes. Oh, Dr. DJ, we have olive oil protects against heart disease. I think everybody in a way agreed that that's the truth, and I hope that's the truth. What do you think, Stephanie?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard a study about that, but I feel like probably a week later, another study came out saying that it didn't. So,
what do you think, Chef? Oil is good, or what depends what type
of
oil?
It's monounsaturated, the single fat is what's the best. But you know, it's the olive oil, the Mediterranean diet, the extra virgin olive oil, cold pressed, not processed, that is really a wonderful boon. And you know, in the Bible it said, anoint
thyself with oil. They weren't talking about WD-40. They're talking about olive oil. And we've been using it in my family for many, many years. Grandma would cook with it. But yes, everything in moderation, DJ, that we were talking about. But yes, olive oil has been known, especially in the Mediterranean diet, to really support the arteries as opposed to the heaviness. Not that I don't like butter. I love butter, but I use olive oil as much as I can. Extra virgin.
Okay, doctor, your opinion.
And you know, the chef is dead on accurate once again. It's the olive oils are monounsaturated fats. There have been studies out there to show that it decreases or prevents actually the synthesis of LDL, the low-density lipoproteins. That's the bad cholesterol. In addition, it helps to lower blood pressure. It helps prevent atherosclerotic disease, which can cause heart attacks, kind of the hardening of the arteries that people refer to. And some very recent evidence within the last 6 months shows that it can help with periodontal disease, gum disease, and it can help to prevent some photoaging of the skin. So it can actually help you look younger as well as stay healthy.
I heard that Sophia Loren, just to jump in here, has an olive oil massage every day. What do you think about that?
Okay,
I don't know about that one. The study was actually consumed olive oil, and it was a population study of the Mediterranean, of a large Mediterranean population, and showed that the people who consumed regular olive oil had decreased photoaging over those people that didn't. So I'm not sure about the olive oil massages, but actually taking it with your pasta is probably a good idea there.
Yeah, okay.
And I have a question for you, actually, Chef Andy. How I always am looking for the best pasta recipe and have seen things from simple water flour mixtures to really complicated whole bunch of stuff. What's your take on it? Where do you go?
I buy Barilla.
I love Barilla.
Or DiCecco. You know, it's funny because when I do make my homemade pasta at home, it's fun, it's exciting, and if I have a family a gathering or some friends over, sometimes we roll up our sleeves. We also make the dough for the pizza and grill it on the grill. But again, the simple store-bought ones are very, very excellent these days, in my opinion. And I wouldn't go too messianic crazy about trying to find, you know, one egg, some flour, and a little bit of olive oil with a little bit of maybe sea salt, and mix it up yourself. You know, that's my opinion.
I like that. Makes me feeling like I'm not failing in the kitchen. Then my daddy, who of course had a little cooking talent too, and he cooked everything for us, everything. But his pasta, yes, always was from scratch, and had the very thick, you know, lines. I liked it, not the thin one. He and a chicken soup with that. Oh my gosh, that was very. I love you, Daddy, wherever you are right now. Anyway, coming back to you. Okay, Andy, we need to just learn a little bit who you are, because you have this corner, unusual corner for performers for cooking. You are running with this business for 15 years, you said, and
yes,
you are all around the globe. You are in amazing casinos. You are cooking for sometimes 200 and more people. You are making four course. Yes, a
four course dinner with antipasti.
Okay, I want to know how does this happen? Where from cooking and loving singing right in there, you walk up and say, that's what I will do. I'm going to hotel, you know, I'm going to Vegas, and I will be having hundreds of people loving me for what I love to do. I love your life. How
does
this happen?
Thank you. Well, it's all from the heart. Grandma, who was from Sicily, my grandmother Grace Colombrino was from Sicily, and she would just invite people over, cook for them. She would put on the music, as I mentioned before. So the thought came to me a number of years ago, 1991 to be exact. I was missing my family. I just moved back to California after living in D.C. during the Reagan years. And I decided, gee, you know, I love my voice. I want to sing. I love food. What could I do to bring this out to the world, to show people and to let people know how to sit down with the family once again, put on some music, open a good bottle of wine, which is our next subject, and just have a good time together, which is somewhat missing in our culture. Wouldn't you agree, DJ?
Absolutely. I think, you know, family time is, and again, growing up in South Louisiana with a strong family influence, family time is something that's really needed. And, you know, turn off the TV or maybe put on a football game while you're actually cooking and spending time with the folks, and everybody gets a job and chips in to make a meal at the end of the day. I think that's extremely beneficial.
And this is how it all actually came together for me, because now with the advent of the internet and social networking sites, people realize that what I bring to the table is a little bit more than just food, but it's also entertainment, and they love to be recognized as a world family. So in the beginning of my show, I have everybody hug one another for at least 30 seconds and just introduce themselves to the people next to them, and it just loosens the atmosphere up. It brings some relaxation to that experience. And this is what I've been fortunate enough to be able to share my talents and skills with so many people all over the world this way.
And I know that you mentioned that you also have something like karaoke almost set up for people, because you sing, you have big screen with lyrics, words,
yes,
and people pick up your songs that you are singing.
Well, during the 90-minute show, basically it's a four-course dinner, the antipasta serve. I come out dancing the tarantella with the wait staff for about a minute and 20 seconds, brings the energy up in the room. I start off by singing that wonderful song that was written by for Dean Martin, That's Amore by Harry Warren. And right then and there, everybody knows they're going to be in for a good time. Then I take them to Venice, Italy, with the Santa Lucia. Beautiful images of Venice, the canals, so on and so forth, and lovers kissing. Words are on the screen. So I invite everybody during that particular course to sing along with me. So everybody is getting into the act. And at the end, when I do the dessert, ricotta cheesecake, and Stephanie was telling me she makes these wonderful cookies.
But you have cookies. And you have on your website recipe, yes?
Singingchef.com, they will find the ricotta cheesecake recipe. So I bring four people up on stage with me to actually, I sing the actual ingredients. 6 eggs vanilla, a cup of sugar, please, half a cup of flour, and fresh ricotta cheese. But don't forget the chocolate chips, the chocolate chips, the chocolate chips. Mix it all and bake, and there you have ricotta cake. So we have fun with it. You know, they see it as a lot of fun. And by the way, DJ, I don't know if you...
We lost DJ.
Oh, did we lose DJ?
We did.
Oh,
okay.
But I didn't know if you know this or our listeners know this, but when we eat in a relaxed manner, when we sit in relaxed form, our digestion doubles and increases so much so. And this is an ancient fact. Actually, Dr. Deepak Chopra talked about it a lot during the Ayurvedic training that I did take in India and here in the United States. So the relaxed atmosphere, you have your glass of wine, possibly, you have your beautiful music that you like to listen to, and you relax, you sit with the family, and you have a good time, and that aids digestion.
Wow, how long do you think good meal is supposed to...
Well, when I was in Italy visiting my family over the millennium, it was like 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours. That's
that is a good meal.
Yeah. With the wine too, DJ. With the good wine.
Okay. And we have this question, DJ. We have a question about wine. Yes. Then your question would be for us a myth. Red wine is better than white wine for you? What do we think? I have a problem with red wine, honestly. I'm allergic to it. I have something like sulfur in. I know there are some red wines that probably do not have one, but I cannot drink red wine. I love white wine. Then I would love to know that my white from time to time is equally great than red. What do you think, Stephanie?
I feel like red wine is something good with heart disease, possibly. I know, you know, a 6-ounce glass 2 to 3 times a week is supposed to be good for you.
Okay. That's...
How about you, DJ? What is your take on that?
Well, there is some fairly recent evidence within the last few years that actually shows that both red and white wine are good for you, and good for heart disease. There was, as you well know, Andy, the way that the red wines are made is to leave the grape skins in longer. And the thought initially was that the skins had more of the antioxidant components that were beneficial to the improved health outcomes, the decreased heart disease, improvement in blood pressure, improvement in cholesterol. But as it turns out, the pulp also has a significant number of antioxidants, and there was at least one rat study that was done where the researchers fed the rats either pulp or the skins, and they showed the same amount of antioxidant value for both of them. So
Thank you,
red and white are good for you.
Thank you, rats, because I'm so happy I can have my white. But DJ, please, Mr. Doctor, tell me, if every night I would just sit in front of TV and just enjoy my glass of wine, is there not something that eventually will get me into trouble?
What will get you to trouble?
Just drinking every
trouble.
Night.
Trouble.
Trouble.
Oh, trouble. I'm sorry, Lona.
It
will not. In fact, you know, our next thing we were going to talk about is how, you know, red wine protects against heart disease, and actually white wine as well, as we just learned. But the recommendation is actually 1 to 2 glasses of wine per day get the most health effect out of it.
I want my wine.
Well,
now
my mom is doing just fine.
Is she? Grandpa lived to 92, had his own little bottle next to him that he made in the basement from the grapes that he stomped and used the grape turner, you know, the old-fashioned machine. And he was happy. He had a little glass at every dinner, along with some smiles and everything, and that's what he had.
I love that. But food is necessary with the wine, probably. Yes, we want this to
combine.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Can this be before night when I just want to go sleep and
sure.
put me? That's relaxation and good medicine. Yes, it seems like. Okay, doctor, I just love this advice. I will do it today in front of TV, and I will think this not morning and night. I will just do two. glasses of wine.
And then when you get up in the morning, you can make a frittata using some eggs, which I think is...
Explain me, what is it? What is the
frittata? Is a softer omelet that's usually baked, and you can put fresh vegetables in it. If you like prosciutto, which I love, you can put artichokes, you can even put fig, little fig jam in it, and you bake it in the oven, and it makes it a little bit more fluffier, so yeah, frittata.
Andy, talk to me more, okay? And then what we'll be eating... What else?
Well, we're talking about the difference between the eggs, right, DJ? Something about people who are a little bit uptight about eating a certain eggs with Italian lemon ice. Was that on our list of questions?
Well, you know, the last one that we were going to talk about in terms of myths here was the was Italian ice, actually. And I wanted to ask you about it, kind of what your experience is. I've just found Italian ice and truly love it.
My goodness, you just found it.
I did. It we now have a chain of stores in our area that are offering Italian ice.
And
had been a fan of gelato for some time. Spumoni since I was very young.
That's my favorite.
Yes, yes.
I love it.
but Italian ice, I've just found a huge fan of, particularly the mango Italian ice. Ooh. That seems to be my favorite right now.
DJ, that's my favorite. I love mango. Oh my gosh.
Everybody's drooling here in the studio.
I was quite amazed to learn when I was researching this segment that, you know, as you know, the Italian ice is actually made from the mango juice or the juice of the fruit that you're using.
Mm-hmm. Plus the pulp, some of the zest.
That sounds
right. So it's where in South Louisiana we have snow cones a lot.
And
with a snow cone, you just shave ice and then put flavors on top of it. Mm-hmm. And so the Italian ice is significantly different in that respect. In researching the piece, though, I found that the U.S. government, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, actually has guidelines for Italian ice.
Interesting.
And it allows that the ice can be made with the egg whites and still be called Italian ice, which I found very interesting because my understanding of Italian ice was that it unlike yogurt or sorbets, it didn't include any it didn't include any eggs at all. But at least according to FDA standards, you can have egg whites, so it is something you may want to be careful of.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out who did that study because as I grew up in I grew up in a little town in New Jersey, and we would swim during the hot summer, and there was a little Italian lemon ice stand right around the corner. 5 cents would buy you about a 2 ounce cup, 25 cents maybe a 4 ounce cup, and I'll tell you what, you could taste the lemons in that ice. It was, and then I decided to have a recipe in my cookbook, the Sing and Cook Italian Cookbook, where I actually put yogurt sugar and lemon juice and lemon zest, and I freeze that, and I actually cut out the lemon, I scoop out the lemon, and I put the ice in it, and then I wrap it, and then I serve that to my guests, either in between the courses to cleanse their palate, or as a dessert, along with double chocolate, hazelnut, almond, biscotti, whatever.
I cannot take it anymore. I
think we need to go out to dinner, Ilona.
Can we schedule a show? I mean, I would love
that.
Actually, we have the Great State Fair of Texas coming. I'll find out how to invite you down for this.
I'm flying. I've never been to Texas yet. I want to go and see
Ilona.
Big blonde hair. I think I'll mix very well there with my long blonde hair.
Where are you, DJ, in Texas, by the way?
I'm in Plano, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. It's a northern suburb of Dallas.
Are you an Aggie? I did a big fundraiser for the school up north at Texas A&M. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I had a great time with them.
I'm actually probably the antithesis of an Aggie. Growing up in South Louisiana, you had to be an LSU Tiger fan.
Yeah.
So even though I went to Tulane, which we tried to upgrade to 4-lane, never really happened. But my whole family went to LSU, so I'm a Tiger fan at heart, which which is vehemently opposed to any Aggie land.
So. I, in a way, you know, we are having so much fun talking about food, talking about amazing, really performance that you are bringing so much happiness to the people who are attending your shows. And but, Andy, I read your on your website very unusual human story, and I don't want to bring a little, although story has very happy ending. Would you like to share with us your personal story about how did you found your daughter?
Yes, my only child. Well, it is a beautiful story, and occasionally when I have the opportunity, I love to share it because my career and my world right now is all about the heart, and having that one child and never having seen her, although I was married to her mother at the time, and she was taken away from me in the middle of the night, brought to Florida and adopted out in the black market. You know, in the 70s, we men were just sperm donors, and that usually that was it. Not every, but all the men. But in any case, when I was working with Donnie Marie Osmond a number of years ago, a Dick Clark production along with Donnie Marie, I wanted to do, after doing a number of segments with them, they asked me what I would like to achieve and what I would like to do on the show other than the cooking aspect. And I said, I'd love to find my only child that was given up for adoption in the black market, and I've been looking for her and dips and dabs and this and that. And sure enough, it took 5 years. It took lots of, the internet kicked in, lots of support, lots of help from people all over the United States. And then I finally found a couple bits of information that sort of honed in, you know, the aerial shot, finally getting closer and closer and closer. And finally, you see the house, and then you walk in the door. And finally, I got the information, sent her a letter. Actually, it was a FedEx, and I waited with bated breath, hoping that she called me. And who called me was her best friend from high school that told me that her name was Betty, and that she'd be expecting me to call her that weekend. It was Easter weekend, so that had some something going on there in the universe. And sure enough, she studied at the Culinary Institute of America and graduated from there as a chef and was working in Aspen, Colorado, where she's living now. And we actually talked for the very first time. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. My computer was soaked with tears after finding her. So we set up a meeting in Santa Barbara, where I live now. And she came out. And that video, actually, a little clip of that, is up on my website, Singing Chef. It is just one of the most wonderful, warm experiences that I've ever experienced in my life. So she's been in my life just about 12 years now.
Oh, we are so, so happy for you. What a story. And I think, I don't know how to really say anything more, but my song, Anticipation for Love, I think is the good song right now, maybe to take a little break and go back to the music. You know, it's one of the saddest songs I wrote, and I would like to share the song with all of us. Not every love.
Wow. Boy, it got real warm in here, I'll tell you.
I know. Really
some
tough.
Great music today, I must
terrific.
Say.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, this song, like I said, is one of the saddest songs that I ever wrote. Mm. Plus, the gentleman who produced the song, Arkadiusz Tadla, I had no idea that he was Polish. Mm. He just won a remix contest, which Sony Picture put on with this song, and I blindly needed to find the best remixer, and I just went crazy for this gentleman's work, and I never met him, ever met him. I just was sending him my vocals, and 2 years ago, I think, he overdosed, and he's not with us anymore, very young gentleman, and happened, I found out that he was Polish, which is just amazing how, you know, sometimes, like you said, your daughter is a chef also, she is studying to cook, and I just reached to the gentleman, I had no idea, also has Polish roots, and way how he produced the music was so close to my heart and the brain, and I fished him out from 1,500 remixers who did remix for my songs. That, you know, life is just beautiful, the way how, you know, we really can find each other, and your story about finding your daughter and, you know, and having her in your life right now is just the most cool stuff
we just have to show up and tell the universe what it is that we want, right, DJ?
Absolutely. Well, you know, and actually, I think John had a segment a couple of weeks ago on serendipity, and all of that falls into the same category. Absolutely.
Then I think we all are really pretty happy. I know, DJ, you have your sweet, tiny little daughter, you know, who is, I'm sure, many hours in your arms right now, and you are a very young daddy. Mm. Of course, I have two daughters, and... Stephanie has none.
Stephanie is daughter free.
Daughter free.
You hear that, Mom?
I see this in your head. So soon I see that. Of course, we are saying hi to all of our daughters. Right now we love them so much. But let's come back to cooking, because obviously we need to finish in very, very happy mode. Yes, you know, DJ?
Ilona, I have a question for Andy there. I am a big fan of veal marsala.
Oh,
me too. That's in Polish also cookbook. Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Well, I'm a big fan of a lot of Italian cooking, but the veal marsala, you know, it's a favorite. It's kind of my barometer for measuring Italian restaurants. I have to get the veal marsala so I can compare one to another. But you know, I have, in trying to cook it at home, I have a hard time choosing a marsala wine to actually use. Any tips or suggestions on that one?
Well, sometimes if you have a tasting, a wine tasting, I know in Santa Barbara where I live now, we have a number of vineyards that periodically import things over, especially the Italian markets that we have. We have two big Italian markets now. And what I try to do is I try to taste, because that's really, in my opinion, the barometer of just about everything that I do. We like to taste. We want to use our five senses: smell, taste, touch. In this case, it's the taste and the flavor of the Marsala. So, you know, there isn't one specific brand name that I could recommend. But if you have the opportunity to taste, like sometimes maybe Gelson's, or maybe there used to be Mrs. Gooch's down here, I remember, big market. And then also some places, they may have a section where you can actually go in and taste. I don't know what's down there in your neck of the woods, DJ, but that would be my opinion. If you can get into a tasting situation, finding something that you like. Of course, the consistency always usually changes is when you add some high heat to it. But at least you'll be starting with something that you already enjoy.
Still, you say the individual taste is really what you recommend.
Yeah, because I can recommend, you know, balsamico, for example. Lorenzo de' Medici has one, $125 for a 5-ounce. But that's, I only put that over strawberries and vanilla ice cream. I won't cook with that.
Again,
so I'll go to Trader Joe's. Do you have Trader Joe's down there, DJ?
We got our first one in Plano about 2 weeks ago.
Very
congratulations,
DJ. So I'll buy a $2.95 bottle. of balsamico from Italia, which is made with the Trebbiano grapes, and it's combined actually for the U.S. consumption with a little bit of red wine vinegar and some other types of vinegar. However, it's inexpensive enough that you can reduce it down to a simple sugar or use it like a simple sugar and baste your vegetables with it, and so on and so forth. So again, that's a matter of taste. Using the very expensive one, I would not reduce that down because I'd be, you know, out of pocket quite a few dollars. But I would definitely find something that's affordable. And in terms of the Marsala, I would try, you know, go to the tasting and taste. You, let your taste buds be your guide in that if you very well can.
Wonderful. Okay, I hope Dr. DJ, you know, we will just go and try some wine, and you'll be doing this perfect cooking for Marsala, and your wife will say probably, I like this wine over that one, and you say, yes, honey, and you know what, that will be perfect dinner for every wife that husband, you know, can cook dinner for. Yes, ladies here are a little jealous because I want to be cooked by my husband, you know, one day. And we never have time to do that. My daddy, like I said, he was from Russia. He loved to cook and sing out loud all the Russia army songs. That was pretty tough because, you know, you were like, Kalinka. And then, you know, it was just amazing. He was so wonderful man. And the flavors and smell, all of my neighbors, they were so jealous because windows were open, obviously.
He created an environment.
He created an environment.
And this is what the idea is of my shows. It's creating an environment. I always say, if you're cooking Italian food, put on some Italian music. If you're cooking French food, whether it's Cajun or whatever, put on some French music. It's music that's appropriate to the occasion. And I feel very strongly that brings something into the dish.
Absolutely.
The vibration of that culture is very, very deep.
And you see, that's what Accent On also is. You know, this show, I'm dreaming, and I know it will be only bigger and better. And thank you again, John Johnson, because for next week, I think John Johnson will be co-producing, if not producing, the show, and Dr. DJ will be with us, and we'll be having, you know, all knowledge from Oprah Winfrey shows, the one of the coolest producers working on the show with us. And I know that he understands that when I'm my dream about having accented show is just about culture, is about mood, is about food, is about, you know, the roots that we are bringing you know, to the table, to our home, and keeping this going and having this little lyrical romantic feelings every time when you close your eyes and you remember your mama or grandma, or you remember your aunt and you know, dinners there. We know why we love, you know, people from many different countries. And I know you are doing that in your show too, because you mentioned that you are bringing lots of cultured food into your show. It's not only about Italian.
Well, one of the shows, when I the inspiration when I was working with the Osmonds, Donnie Marie, one that was produced by also Dick Clark, was the Sing and Cook Italian. Then I decided to do Sing and Cook Mexicana, then Sing and Cook French, and actually sing some of the ingredients for each of the dish, whether it was crepes or whether it was tamales or refried beans and rice.
Okay, I want to hear that tiny little bit. about beans? Do we have?
Of which one? I have to think about the melody.
Anyone.
The melody now has to come. Well, I sang the Sing and Cook Italian one with the ricotta cake. And then the one with the Sing and Cook Mexicana, ay, 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 Sing and Cook Mexicana. We made some fennel fish tacos, and now we'll make some frijoles. And then we go into the Mexican hat
that's
dance.
Awesome.
And
that's
we do
awesome.
That's also up on my website, but that's a show that's it's always been in progress. But we feed everybody. In the beginning of that particular show, when I did it in Santa Barbara for about 100 of my friends, we opened up with all the dancers, actually the wait staff, dancing out the small plates, which is very big now in a lot of restaurants, eating the small plates, eating different tastes of small plates.
Like that too.
So we started out with Mediterranean, Mexican, Indian, Chinese, Japanese, Thai, Cajun, Caribbean, Latin American, everything under the sky. We cook back. So it comes, and as I was singing those different countries, outcome the different small plates and the dishes.
Everybody's included.
Everybody is all included. Right. And so that's it's a world family. When you sit down to eat with people, it doesn't matter where they're from, doesn't matter what color of their skin, what religion, you feed them, they're your friends for life.
And they
Andy, where can we find, I'm ready to sit down with you tomorrow. Where can we find out where you're going to be in the upcoming month?
Up on my website whenever this airs, I'll be in Metropolis and Harris in Paducah, Kentucky. And then I'm doing a big fundraiser. I do a lot of fundraisers for theaters, which they either have 250, 300 people on stage where we do a four-course elegant dinner, or we have the seats are sold and we have the VIPs on stage with me, and that's where I'll do a seven-course tasting food and wine tasting, and that next one's going to be in Bristol, Tennessee, for the Paramount Theater. There'll be 300 people at that one, and then one of my final shows of the year will be in Peoria, Illinois. They say if you can make it in Peoria, you can make it anywhere.
Anyway.
And that's a fundraiser too.
And what's your website again, real quick?
Singingchef.com.
And this is, Andy was our guest for today. He will be back because I think he's just one of the coolest chefs on the earth. And we will be together back. And I would like to say thank you for this night. I'm hungry, so hungry. I need to go and eat my bagel, probably, because that's what I have in the refrigerator. And I would love to say bye-bye for today. Dr. DJ, I just love to have you with us through all the show. John Johnson, I hope you enjoy Maui. Thank you, Stefania, sunshine of my life, and Ilona Europa, loving everybody. Thank you.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa and Jonathan Todd, right here on LA Talk Radio.